You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, it's HR Happy Hour. What's happening? My name's Steve Bowes. I'm with Trish McFarland. Trish, what's up?
Hey, how are you? We're on twice in 1 week. How about this?
It's yes. That's all. I'm dumbfounded by the question. But yes, it's been a long week for some reason. Seems like it anyway. So yeah, I guess we recorded Monday of this week, right?
We recorded, yeah. And it feels like it was a million years ago, though. You're right. It's been a busy week. Maybe it's the holidays and trying to cram so much work into the last, you know, admit it. It's like this is the last real week that work gets done, I think. Next week's kind of a whole blow-off week, you know, with the holiday on Friday, so.
Yes, I'd agree with you on that. So today, it's HR Happy Hour 228, I believe. Today's Friday, December 18th, recording this on a Friday, end of the week, right. As you said. It's been a really fun but busy week. I was in New York City for a couple of days this week, too. I guess that maybe threw me off. I had sort of a last-minute trip. I had a great time, by the way, in New York City. We talked NBA on the last show, Trish.
Did you go?
Did you go
to a game?
I did. Let me give you the quick update on the game I attended. I went to Brooklyn, Trish. I made the sojourn from Manhattan all the way out to Brooklyn to go see a Nets.
No Knicks, man.
I know. Well, I've got the Knicks coming up soon, but I went to see the Nets play, Miami Heat at the Nets at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, which was lovely. A gorgeous arena.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was excellent and incredibly easy to get to from Manhattan. The number 2 train from Times Square, about 10 stops, and lets you out right in front of the Barclays Center entrance.
Really?
Beautiful. It couldn't have been easier to...
I may have to try it.
That would be a great place to attend a game, for sure. Really easy to get to, fun. New arena, beautiful. And really enjoyed it. Nets did a great job putting on the game, and I had a great time. So super, super night for me. And back late last night, of course, LaGuardia Airport. Thursday night for the holidays. Oh, it was grim.
That, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I think they redid the Delta side there, but the American Airlines side of LaGuardia is heinous. It is awful. I just cringe. I cringe going through it. There was a whole Facebook discussion last night from a bunch of people who travel a ton for work, and it was all about how bad LaGuardia is. So,
yeah,
we need a campaign or something.
You know, I certainly do. I don't quite see the grimness of it. Obviously, I'm in the Delta Sky Club. In fact, I think I do my best work in the Delta Sky Club. I literally wrote like a 1,200 word blog post last night between say 7 and 9 p.m. while I was hanging out in the Sky Club with nothing else to do. Right. So I think it's good for that. Right. You're sort of trapped. There's nothing else to really occupy your time so you can get some things done. But
my problem there is the American Club is nowhere near the terminal I need to fly out of for some reason. And so I always wind up sitting on the floor somewhere eating an Auntie Anne's pretzel because that's really all they have in the other terminal. And I'm sitting there thinking in my head, like I'm all mad because I'm thinking, I have a club membership and I could just go to another terminal and actually be treated well. And instead I'm sitting on the floor in LaGuardia's, you know, whatever C terminal instead. So,
nice.
Yeah,
I think we're really very squarely into first world problems here, right?
bemoaning
the location of our premier club from the gate area, but, good time. I love New York City. I'm going back after Christmas, as a matter of fact, and we can let this go. I'm going back after Christmas for a few days with my son, and we're going to catch the Knicks game. That's what I wanted to get back to. So I've not deserted my beloved New York Knicks, and we'll be seeing a game after Christmas.
And we're going to New York in January.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Right? In mid-January. And so you need to look in to see if there's an NBA game when I'm there, because – you know, I'm a big fan.
I know
I
you're
go, so.
You're all in now. We will make that happen.
All on you.
Okay, lovely, Trish. Let's get on with the show.
Get
I think
on with
we
the
should
show.
Enough with our nonsense. Take over. You're in charge of the show. I'm going to lay back and just you know.
I'm in charge today. Well, good. Well, you know what? We have been trying and talking with this guest today about getting him on for a long time. And I feel like the next couple actually are falling into that same scenario where it's taken a couple months to kind of coordinate schedules. But at any rate, today we have Jeremy Ames as our guest, and I'll bring him on in just a moment. Just to tell you all a little bit about Jeremy, he is the president of HiveTech HR, which is a Massachusetts-based firm that helps companies strategize and implement their HR technology. So very, very important for HR leaders out there, I know. He's a member of the SHRM HR Management Board and also the Technology Expertise Panel and a former IREM board member. And so, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're on. So, you know, obviously, I have to tell you, I mean, sort of with the former practitioner hat on, I love anyone who works with strategizing and implementing HR technologies for HR leaders. So maybe tell us a little bit more about the company and what you do, and maybe even a few little personal nuggets that aren't in the traditional bio.
Yeah, so HiveTech is the company I started. We've been around for about 5 years now. I started it after working for the software vendors, and I decided I wanted to get more strategic with the companies that I was working with, and I wanted to also create a team around me to do that. So rather than just flipping switches, you know, deciding which data elements go into their systems, I wanted to figure out what those systems really meant for the clients and make sure that they were getting the return that they were investing in this software that they were buying. So that's sort of why I created the company, and that's what it's turned into. It's turned into an opportunity for us to work with both the clients themselves and also on behalf of the software vendors to mostly implement the solutions, but also in some cases help people find the right system that matches all their business needs. So yeah, it's been a fun ride. You know, I've been able to work hands on with clients, but also lead a team of people that do that, and it's been a fun road for me so far.
Well, good. You know what? I think too that's such an area where there's a bigger need than the amount of people out there trying to help companies do those, make those decisions, and actually implement those technologies. So I would imagine you're pretty busy. Is that right?
Yeah, we're definitely busy. We have a lot of work based on the number of people we have. We're a small team, but growing. And so we're just we're keeping up with the growth that we're experiencing by virtue of just being in the middle of the market. You know, we consider ourselves pretty much like the middle people. So we sit between the software vendors, the practitioners, you know, the people, the influencers, the analysts that are out there. We're kind of like right in the middle. As I actually called the middle of our company is called the Hive, and it's sort of like this area that we can collaborate and influence the industry. But it's kind of a neat place to be because you see what's going on pretty clearly.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really important thing. So for the HR leaders out there who might be looking, definitely look Jeremy up after the show. Are you finding that HR leaders are pretty willing to bring you in and have the team on board with? Now, are you actually like helping them make the selection decision as well, or is this once they've actually made the selection, but then you come in? Like, at what point would they call you?
We enter at different points in the process. There are definitely some cases where we're entering when they've made the decision to buy technology. In other cases, it's even earlier in the process where they're trying to decide if there's a business case for technology. And then in other cases, they've already made the buy decision, and now it is truly about making sure that the software fits in their current environment. So we've kind of structured it in such a way that we can jump in when it's needed, but you know, we try to add value in each of the different phases of the work.
Good, good. Well, one of the things along those lines that I wanted to talk to you about today, and I think this would be really helpful for the listeners, is you had worked with William Tincup, who's a friend of the show.
Tincup. Earlier.
Sorry
to jump in. I hadn't heard.
Tincup.
Shout out to Tincup. Haven't talked to him in a while.
I know, right? So fellow analyst in the space and just all around great guy. just a side note, I feel like for many years, Tin Cup and Steve and I would wind up in New York City this time of year for conference board events. So we haven't been in a long, long, long time. But anyway, many, many fun times hanging around with William. But it looks like, you know, I know you had worked with him earlier in the year and written about 7 points of satisfaction in buying HR technology. And so I wonder if maybe you can take a few minutes and sort of give just a highlight of what those 7 points are, first of all, and then maybe we can just get into a little bit of around some of those points more specifically and how that worked and what you and William found.
Yeah, great. That's a great lead in. And yeah, William and I, we've been similar to you and I, Trish. We kind of just would see each other at all the events and coordinate at different times. And it wasn't really until this year that we actually started collaborating on specific work products. So it's been a cool year from that standpoint. And he is definitely a fun guy. I enjoy spending time with William. But so the series that we wrote, like you said, it's 7 points of satisfaction in buying HR technology. We wrote it for TechTarget. And it's, you know, it's gotten quite a bit of traction. I keep getting people coming up to me and saying, "Oh, you guys wrote that series." So it's been good from a visibility standpoint. But like I said, I'm also very proud of the work product we put together. So it basically steps you through the whole buying process. And it somewhat mirrors like an actual implementation from start to finish. So we talked about the product. So what you need to decide in terms of what type of product you should be looking for and how much the product actually contributes to your eventual success. We talked about the actual sales cycle. So that the second one was on sales and how you can work with the sales teams at the different vendors, the tactics you can take, the people you should be talking to, questions you should be asking. We talked about negotiation. So once you've actually identify the product and the team that you want to work with, negotiating the best price, but also not over negotiating to the point where you get an unhappy vendor who's kind of handcuffed themselves from a money standpoint. We talked a lot about there was an implementation thing, and that's sort of the bread and butter of what my company does. So I had a lot to say about, you know, what questions to ask during the initial process that would make for a successful implementation, how to ask about which partner to work with, you know, how the vendor's team is structured. So a lot of those pre-implementation decisions that people don't usually think about and then find themselves in trouble on. We talked about training and how important the training phase of a project is. User adoption, how no matter what you do in terms of investment and getting the company to use the software, it's whether or not the actual employees adopt the software that is looked at, you know, a couple of years down the road. And then finally, the support. So making sure that whatever vendor you choose has a solid support model, that you have the right SLAs in place. So it basically took you through the whole cycle of the buying process.
Hey, Jeremy, that's really interesting that you guys embarked on that kind of research and publication this year. It's interesting to me because we decided this year at HR Tech to include a lot of content in our program in that same vein. And we found that type of content. We did sessions around case study preparation and vendor selection, structure of implementation teams, change management, and so on. We found that content to be, even beyond my expectations, really popular and successful at the show. So I think you've hit something I think that's really important in the market, which is we've got a lot of information about technology. There's a lot of vendor-supplied material around technologies. There's a lot of, you know, third-party or analyst-supplied material about technology, but maybe not so much or not enough around how do you actually become successful with the technology once you've decided to acquire said technology. So I think you're hitting something that the market, you're tapping into something that the market is saying it needs right now with to try to take the next step with beyond just picking a technology, but to actually have success and drive expected and needed outcomes from the technology. So that it's kind of interesting, I think.
Thanks.
Well, I think too that, you know, just as you're describing each of these steps, again, I'm trying to think, you know, more like someone who would be be buying it or needing that type of assistance on any one of those seven, if not all of the seven. And are you finding that there's a certain one or two areas where potential customers or even current clients where they really maybe need more education, whether it's starting earlier in their career or just, you know, what are the parts that seem to be the biggest challenge as you're finding in the process for leaders who are trying to select and implement technology?
I would answer that twofold. First, I would say that an understanding of the overall process, so the seven items I mentioned, and actually knowing enough about all of those to be successful is huge. And that's not really, it's not something that's fully understood. So people would know about one or two or a couple, but not really the whole process. So that's the first thing I would say. But then if I were to choose one specifically, it's that one right in the middle. It's the implementation, because mm-hmm. it's so critical to the eventual success. And it's not only critical for the internal stakeholders thinking that they've had a successful project, but it's also like the executives pay very much attention to what goes on during that implementation. So if you've dropped the ball, if things have taken too long, if you've gone over budget, if you didn't, you know, get every piece of functionality that was initially thought would be put in place, there's always going to have that, you're always going to have that negative stigma. So it's going to affect adoption. It's going to affect, you know, the internal support you get. So really the middle work in that implementation is huge.
And you know what? Leaders aren't trained to do that. It's so rare. I've talked to them all over the country, and it's just, no matter who you're talking to, however long they've been in HR, so few people have actually went through these steps. And it's something that, at least from the ones I've talked to, and even maybe a little bit from my own experience, when you buy technology, you almost expect the vendor to do that heavy lifting in an implementation for you. And not that they won't, but earlier you really hit on something when you were talking about knowing kind of the right questions to ask. And that's one area where even if I felt really prepared to ask maybe the right or good questions in the selection phase, I know that once I got to implementation, I didn't really know what to ask. Mm-hmm. And that really did impact the outcome. So can you maybe talk a little bit about like preparing, how you prepare with clients on knowing what to ask or what's important?
Well, the key about implementation is that every software has a different implementation methodology associated with it. And that's something that people, that makes it very difficult to prepare even, because if you learn this, like how one particular vendor is implemented and then you move on to another vendor, you're not necessarily going to know the steps. You're not going to know the methodology. So the key is to start out very, very basic, to get a basic understanding of what are the basic steps we're going to be going through. Are we going to be going through some discovery of functionality? We're going to be going through the data migration. Like, what are the generic steps? But then not stopping there and getting into the details. People are very afraid of details and kind of skim over the top of them. So if you never get the client to understand the details you're going to be going through in an implementation, you never get the buy-in from them. You never get the level of effort or the understanding that you need in order to be successful.
Yeah, Jeremy, I think you're spot on about that. Let me do a quick show reset here. This is the HR Happy Hour show. This is HR Happy Hour 228. We're chatting with Jeremy Ames from Hive Tech HR. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland's here too. Sorry, Trish, I had a slip. I have this terrible habit, Jeremy, of slipping in these show resets. I used to do them like every 10 minutes, so I held off today a little bit, and so I'm trying to get better. I got some employee coaching from Trish on this very recently, so I'm
that's
trying.
That's right.
I'm trying.
That's my job.
I'm trying to put that into action. Hey, Jeremy, I think you made a really interesting point though about sort of having that client side understanding of the specific nature of the technology around, sort of a detailed understanding of it. And one of the things I always found was, and it happened, I was kind of lucky, I think, when I was on the client side too, is whether it was me, I guess in the early part of my career, it was probably me, but having other folks on the team really become evangelists internally for the technology. Often we found that, like, inside organizations, the people who do the best with these new technologies are the ones that sort of they sense this "what's in it for me" kind of element, and say, and they come quickly to realize. Let's say you're rolling out a new ATS right across a big organization, and not everybody wants to jump in and sort of learn how to work it. But the one person who decides, "Hey, I'm going to really get into this, figure it all out, figure out how to make it work for us," that person becomes really valuable inside the organization often, right? Mm-hmm. And it becomes almost like a bit of a career kind of springboard potentially for them. And I think, yeah, finding that, whether it's, you know, a technology project or any other kind of change project, that internal champion kind of process is I think, really important. And also, you know, important for the people themselves, I think. I mean, it helped me. Learning new technologies kind of led to almost everything good that happened to me in my career, I think, over time.
Yeah, I wish I could actually pick the evangelist, as you call them, because sometimes you get assigned the evangelist and yet no. Like, there was a case fairly recently where I saw, we were talking about change management, we were talking about HCM strategy, and across the table, every time my colleague Steve was saying something about change management, this person was nodding profusely, and like, you could just see her, she just wanted to jump across the table and give us a hug. And I wanted to just say, you know, you guys need to make her the evangelist of change management, because she clearly is passionate about it, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's a good point, though. I mean, I think that maybe you need to explore that for the coming year, because I'm just thinking back, I won't name companies or anything, but there was a company I worked for, and we had sort of appointed someone to be our, I guess, leader of this change. And she was reluctant at best. So yeah, having a reluctant, you know, evangelist is not really where you want to be. But
that could be my next blog, Trish. The reluctant evangelist. I like that name.
I was just thinking Jeremy needs to write that one, the reluctant evangelist. But or maybe we can all do it. We'll all write our spin on that. But no, it's true. I think that wouldn't it be interesting if you had, you know, a consulting team come in and that was part of what they do, is that you actually do recommend, because you can sit back and sort of see the personalities, and like you're saying, the little, it's that subtlety of the nods and the, you know, things like that, that maybe the internal team misses. We sort of get pretty set in our ways sometimes of who we think is the right person for something. So maybe that's a jumping off point for another offering you can have. So good. Yep. Well, what about, I know we've talked a lot about, you know, just these steps in the process, but what are you seeing for 2016? I think we're just about to the end of this year, and people, whether you're in human resources or talent acquisition or whatever piece of it, you know, they're really starting to think about next year and planning and budgeting and things like that. So what are some of the things, one or two things maybe that you're sort of focused on for 2016, or that you're really seeing your clients start to focus on? What do you think is coming for us?
I think personally, there's going to be a move towards simplification. So I think in terms of like defining what company goals are for 2016 and making sure you achieve them, I think that there's going to be probably fewer goals set, but more attention to detail paid on each of those goals. So if on our projects that we work on, I'm anticipating, like, instead of trying to bite off the whole gamut of HCM, you know, doing talent acquisition and doing performance management and recruiting, or, well, recruiting is the same thing, and like payroll benefits, just trying to narrow that scope and be more successful at it. And I've seen that sort of because it mirrors the overwhelmed state that I find a lot of my clients are in right now. And I think a lot of us are in from a personal standpoint too. So I kind of see that happening on the project work, and personally, I'm going to actually try to drive that so that we have a better chance of success on the work that we're doing.
That's very important. I was just doing a little bit of research around kind of a broader productivity in general, and how over the last couple of years, you know, everyone's been focused on being more productive and doing more with less and in sort of that mode. But I think you're right. I think people have now realized we've all pushed ourselves to the point that we really need to scale back and getting that focus. I love that idea of sort of that more simplistic focus. I think you actually can achieve more if you do that instead of being so scattered and just sort of half achieving a bunch of different things. Right. So
yeah, I mean, I like the idea of you know, thinking about what's happening in tech and workplace tech. It seems to me that there's this appetite for things that will help me slash my team slash, you know, me as a leader or whomever, right? Whatever perspective you're bringing, that techniques, tools, whatever we're calling it, you know, systems that'll help me get this one specific or these two or three specific things done better, which will help me in my personal productivity, help our team, help our, you know, help our efficiency, whatever outcomes we're trying to drive, right? It's that's not to say there aren't still going to be, you know, really big, huge kind of global, you know, HCM replacement projects going on at, you know, at say Fortune 1000 companies, because that always tends to happen. But the appetite for taking those on, I mean, maybe it's never been that, you know, great, but now, like, I'll say it this way, maybe it's a different way of saying the same thing. The most interesting set of technologies that I've seen in the last couple of years are those ones that do one or two things really, really well, and they excel at them. Now, that sort of brings to another set of problems we probably don't have time to talk about today, which is, you know, more widespread adoption of a lot of point solutions. If that really does start happening in organizations, what that means for things like integration and data, you know, data cleanliness across systems, and, you know, this came up, it comes up, it came up at HR Evolution. Trish, we talked about this actually in the tech session that we did there. So, but yeah, I mean, I've seen some really cool things that focus really tightly on solving some very, very specific problems and do them really well. And yeah, I think that's going to happen more, going forward as well. I guess it's hard to say. I tried quickly, Trish, you talked about 2016. I tried to look back through some of my archives to see, like, what I thought would be happening, like, in 2012 or 2013, to see if they're the same things that I think are going to be happening in 2016. And I'll bet they are. I didn't really find them. Yeah, probably. I found some nonsense I wrote in 2012 about geofencing and biometric authentication. And
Oh, goodness.
I need an editor, probably. But, yeah.
Yeah, there is that, Steve. You hit on, like, this dichotomy that's going on, and it's like, you take any company right now, I could have a 5-minute conversation with them and find out which side of the fence they sit on, which is basically, are you planning on doing a widespread rollout of a new system, which is a whole, you know, one entirely separate path, or have you already gone through it and now you're doing that, where you're looking at specific areas of HR and maybe looking at point solutions and potential integration. So I think you're going to see companies going one or two of those different paths just based on where they are in the system's life cycle.
Yeah, good stuff, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, just we talked about your 7 points of satisfaction in buying HR tech research and reporting you did with TinCup. How do folks find that, by the way? So can we give them get a shout out for folks who are interested in that? Those reports and how they might access them.
I know if you just search on 7 points of satisfaction and put in my name, Jeremy Ames or William Tincup, it'll come back. It's on the TechTarget website. They're the ones who produced it. I know William also did to some extent put some of it on LinkedIn as well. So
okay, great. We'll find those links. We'll get those. Make sure we get those posted along with the show when we get the show notes. Or you find TinCup in person, just ask him. I'm sure he'll tell you. He'll spend an hour with you discussing them. I bet too.
Yeah, and you can always you can tweet me. I didn't mention my Twitter handle, but I'm at I self-proclaimed myself the HCM guy earlier this year. I changed from the name approach and kind of made the bold statement of saying, I am the HCM guy. So you can tweet me on that handle as well.
All right. So now, question related to that, because that's pretty interesting. I think, you know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we all kind of had those type of names, right? So I think I was like Trish the HR guru or something ridiculous. I don't even remember what
Trish,
it was.
Trish, that's embarrassing.
Right. Well, it was, you know, I was brand new. It was new. Twitter was new. No, but do you remember, Steve, there was like this big push to like use your real name. So, Jeremy, I think you're the first person I've heard that you're going the other way now. I like that. Well, you're going back.
I mean, you still have your name associated with it. People can still search Jeremy Ames and find me. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely a different path. Treasure Feed, I tend to take the different path.
You know, for folks who are newer to the podcast, to the show, you know, way back in the HR Happy Hour archives, I should probably post this again over the holidays, right, on the blog, so people, maybe whoever might be interested, yeah, find it. We did a show, and I think the show was – or I did a show, I guess is more apt to say.
It was you. I wasn't even
that. Either. But the show was like the HR Minion, Shauna, right, the HR Maven. Yeah. You're still the HR ringleader, and there might have been one more, even some HR superhero style nickname. And I remember when I was doing the show thinking, like, how come I don't have like an HR superhero nickname? Like,
yeah,
I need
say
to...
what yours was.
Well, say I didn't yours my original Twitter handle was not really an HR thing. It was just a thing I used on other websites just as a username, and it was just SB, my nickname, my initials SB, and Jet, JET, because I like the New York Jets. And so it was just a dumb little thing I used to use on, you know, shopping sites, or just it was just a random sign in I used when I didn't want to use my full name or real name, and I used that as my Twitter handle for a while. I can't remember how long, but and then I switched it over to my full name too. But I never had like that superhero nickname though. Like I never had that. You know, anything really clever.
That's fine. I think you should go back to SB Jet. SB Jet HR Tech. There
you go. Yeah, that's all I need. That's it.
Not going to change it.
I've got a very sophisticated setup on Twitter of like auto tweeting and, you know, feed tweeting, which is great for me because I can be social without ever having to interact too much with anybody. And I will say
I just want to get on to you. I don't like that. I don't like that because the other night I was on and there was like nobody on. All my friends were on, supposedly, and none of you were really on. So it was quite disappointing.
Well, you know, I'll take some of the blame for that. And we're way off topic. Jeremy, apologize for this. But
no worries.
Again, for folks who are new to the show, this show used to be done live. Right. We used to stream it live on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. Right. And so the first year or two of the show, probably is close to 2 years. Most of the shows were done that way, almost all of them probably. And we used to have like the whole Twitter back channel. Right. And lots of people chatting about the show who were listening live. And that was really fun for a while.
And the Google Wave.
Yeah. The Google. So that, you know, how long ago this is. Right. How far in the past this is happening. And that was loads of fun for a while, and for 17,000 reasons, none of which are important, you know, this show has moved on from that, and we do it now as a recorded podcast, and we upload it. So Trish, maybe, you know, we talk about this once in a while. How about maybe after the new year, we have to promote it for a while because people won't know to come and listen live and tweet and stuff. But let's pick a night in maybe January if we can, where we'll do a live show. We'll do it on Thursday night. We'll do it at 8 o'clock. Try to get as many of the HR superheroes to participate.
Why don't come back?
Yeah, why don't we do that? That'll be fun.
Very good.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, we probably need to wrap it, man. This is fun. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You guys are fun to hang out with in person as well as on this podcast. So I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm more fun on the podcast than in person. I'll just say that very, very clearly. Hive Tech, Jeremy, Hive Tech HR, and the HCM guy on Twitter. Did I get that right?
Yep, that's right. My superhero name. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate Jeremy. Thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, Trish. Good stuff. Second show in a week.
Yeah, I know. And we are recording another one on Monday for the following week.
Good
so
Lord.
We've got big plans. We're ending the year strong. And you know what? I'm going to give you a little teaser here. What we're going to talk about on Monday, we're going to have a guest on from the Academy of Rock. So if you're so inclined, definitely start doing a little research on that. And then I have a topic I'm going to talk about, which is the Star Wars Guide to the College Football Bowls. So that's my teaser for next week.
The Star Wars Guide to the College Football
Bowls. College Football Bowls. And so what they've done is the Wall Street Journal has put out an article where they've taken all the bowl games and all the matchups, and they've equated them to different Star Wars characters and themes. So it's kind of fun. So if you're into Star Wars, which I know pretty much the whole world
is. I'm a Star Wars
guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Star Wars
guy. So go out on wallstreetjournal.com. Just look up like Star Wars and college football bowls or something like that, and you will find it. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that next week.
Sure. That sounds great. Awesome. Very good.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
Good show.
Any, that's the, you know, we've been on for a while. We're doing lots of shows. I don't think we have any more announcements. Do we? I don't think I do.
No more today.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll post the links to the shows, maybe some of the old shows as well, and we'll start thinking about getting that live show scheduled for next year, which will be fun again. So I guess that's it, Josh.
That's it.
All right.
Thanks. Over and out.
Thanks to Jeremy Ames once again. Trish, thank you. We'll see you later. And my name's Steve Bose. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.